And now, another eFed Journal entry with your host, TJ.
Guess who's back? Back again. TJ's back. EFJ 2220. Alright, I'm gonna stop there. I'm back. I'm TJ, the handler behind the Soul of Philly, TJ and William Alexander Andrews. I'm back from a week off. Computer problems all set, all done, all fixed. So we are up and ready to go for hashtag EFJ22 with Rick Rampage. We're going to get into that. It's a good interview. It's, you know, a little longer than, well, not as long as the Terry Marco one. I didn't need to split it into two episodes, but still, it's good there. Good, some good stuff if you're working out to listen to. But before we start, Peter has got something to say for all of you. And then I come on and say stuff after. Yeah, that's how it works. Peter.
Thank you, TJ. This week's journal entry is brought to you by
the NEWA, the National E-Wrestling Alliance, is a fantasy federation run by a staff with over 30 years combined experience. It is endorsed by the real NWA and features some of the best players on the net since 1998. They are accepting applicants and will be realigning the federations that comprise the alliance in September, so opportunities for new players will be abundant. This site features multimedia opportunities on Twitter and has an exceptionally active and vibrant digital community. With two primary promotions, each of which have a 2 RP per period limit that lasts 2 weeks, there is one show per month in each federation in the alliance so that one can be active enough for 4 RPs and 2 shows a month, or 2 RPs and 1 show a month. There are no word limits, just an RP limit. They welcome players of all experience levels and encourage you to check them out, as do I, at www.ewrestling.org/NEWA site/. Once again, that's the National E-Wrestling Alliance, which can be found at ewrestling.org/NEWA site.
I don't want to give too much away.
No, don't.
Let's record. Let's keep all the good stuff going.
We've been recording since the call started.
That's the great part.
Yeah.
Oh, all right, that's what's up. I don't remember. I don't know how these things works with the new program and all, because, you know, the Windows fucked everything up. I remember there used to be like that Pamela recording system or whatever, and because when we used to do podcasts and stuff with when I used to do them with SCCW, and we did it with GLW when I was running that and stuff. We were trying to get podcasts going, and we had Pamela call recorder mixed in with Skype. So,
yeah, but, I use Power Gramo. So it's great program.
Yeah, you probably.
I don't even think we need to. I need to count it down and whatnot, like I always do. I think I'm just gonna go roll right into it. We got Rick Rampage on the podcast, as all you know. I'm Rick. Say hi to everybody.
Hey guys.
Yeah, just kind of go straight into it. I'm not even gonna count it down. I don't know. I just felt like that conversation that just. About programming of the programs,
yeah.
Recording was just so scintillating.
Yeah, so scintillating. You know, it's what it is.
On the podcast we have Rick Rampage, one of my biggest fans of the thing. So I hope this is surreal for you.
Oh, dude, I'm totally marking out right now.
Because I remember you kind of just came out of nowhere. I think it was on CWC. Said, "Oh my god, this is great!" And then you were like, as soon as you listened to it, sent the email. I sent the contact request on Skype, and you were like, "Oh my god, hey!" I was like, "What up? How's it going? Like, what's up and everything?" And,
yeah, no, I was definitely hyped. You know, because there's a lot of the podcasts that you've done over the years and stuff. You do. You either do them out of character or you do them in character. I've been a part of both. And the in-character ones are kind of fun, but it's kind of hard to do. But you never really get to... It's always seems like everything is a little bit more about the handler or the character and not about both and how they work together. And I think that's something that's really special about this podcast, because... Really, you can have a great character but a shit handler and it won't work, or you can have a great handler but a shit character and it's not going to work. It's got to be both for it to work, I think, and that's what's special about this podcast, is it kind of brings them both together.
Yeah, and I get most for the most part, I get good characters and good handlers. I just want one shit handler with a shit character, just to say I did it. But I'm not going to tell them that they're that shit character.
Oh man, I've got the perfect one for you too. I'm not going to mention his name. We'll talk about it after the recording.
No, I mean, I don't know. It's fun. I love doing these.
I mean, I can tell. Like, I mean, we've been cracking up for like the past 5 minutes, and we've only just been recording for like a couple.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, we might as well get right into it.
Yeah.
The birth, the idea of Rick Rampage. Where did that come from?
The idea of Rick Rampage was really, it's more of an evolution of another character that I had done. The first character that I ever made when I decided to sign up with Gods of Wrestling, or GOW, which was don't hurt me at Just Huntley Fed. I'm sorry. Almost everybody who knows who Rick Rampage is knows where he started and knows his origins. But he started as an evolution of the Assassin who I had started role-playing with back in 2002 or 2003, I think. It's been a while. He was my first character, and I role-played with him in a couple places. And he was just like this big, husky, like 399-pound guy that was 7'2", just this beast of a character. And by the time that I wrapped things up with him, and I was just like, okay, that's the last time I'm going to use him. I've used him for years. He had won World Heavyweight Championship, was the longest reigning champion of another title in one of his other feds, which at that time it was really close competitive fed. It was like 89 days was the longest title reign with that specific title. So it was nothing really special by today's standards. And he had just done so much, and I was ready to retire him. But I came up with this idea of like keeping things within like a family sort of thing. So I decided to create a student to that wrestler to pay homage to him. And I wasn't quite ready enough to step away from the big guy moniker, because it's what I was used to. But I wanted to sort of step into adding a little bit more personality than the Assassin had. So I decided to do like the personality of like a smaller wrestler that you'd seen in E-Fetting, where, you know, they had all this charisma, all this energy, and I wanted to mix that in with a bigger guy. And I was just spitballing names back and forth with somebody, and Rick Rampage sort of just stuck. And that's how Rick Rampage, when he first started out, Rick Rampage became the rising star Rick Rampage. And that's
a lot of R's.
Yeah, the rising, three R's as... the rising star Rick Rampage was how he first started out. And he was being mentored, and his manager at the time was the Assassin, once again paying homage to what I had done before. You know, I mean, I just always like to have that little connection that sort of links back to remind you of where you started going through. So that's a theme that's gone through all three of my characters so far.
Okay, and so Assassin, Rick Rampage, and now Mason Daniels.
Yeah, so Mason Daniels, which hopefully he'll be important enough to talk about it later in a later broadcast, but he is a student out of Rick Rampage and the Assassin's school called Golden Boy Wrestling up in New York, and character-wise, so.
Okay, all right. So Rick, the rising star Rick Rampage.
Mm-hmm.
What was the pick base?
Tyson Tomko has been his pick base, or and even in the later years when I used a poser pick base at TFWF, Tyson Tomko was the base for that. So they modeled the poser after Tyson Tomko. So pretty much it's been Tyson Tomko since the beginning to end, which is okay. Something special.
Yeah. So you're in GOW, Gods of Wrestling, or is that?
Yeah, Gods of Wrestling.
Gods of Wrestling. Mm-hmm. This is in 2009. Rick's a student. Was Assassin in Gods of Wrestling?
Yeah, Assassin started off as a manager sort of figure in Gods of Wrestling, and then he became a in-character staff character for the Fed. He became like the general manager, I believe is what it was, if I remember correctly. So he sort of was, in-character-wise, was running the show, but anybody who knows Jess Huntley knows that Jess Huntley lets nobody have say in the show besides Jess Huntley. True story.
So you introduce Rick Rampage through the assassin character.
Yeah, because the assassin, the last Fed that he was in was World Attitude Wrestling, which was another Jess Huntley Fed. So it sort of connected. It was Rick Rampage was his in. Rick Rampage got his in into the industry through Assassin's connection with Jess Huntley. So.
Okay. So, it's 2009, so it's about 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so how was it introducing a new character? You did say it's kind of similar to Assassin, you know, in the physical presence, but Rick Rampage has more charisma, it's more personality than the assassin character. How was it received?
He was actually received really well. A lot of the same handlers from the previous Jess Huntley Fed were in the new one. Some of them, a good bit of them, knew who I was, and there were a good group of people that had come in after I had left. But for the most part, they knew who I was. Like, they had seen the Assassin's picture up on the WAW Hall of Fame. He was one of the first inductees. And so they knew who I was, and they had a lot of respect for me. And I came in, and Jess did things weird. He put, like, instead of doing word caps and stuff, he put character caps. So he put the character caps at 20,000 words, or 20,000 characters, I mean. But they were still fairly long promos. I think it comes out to like 3,000 or 4,000 words is like 10,000 characters or something. So I mean, the cap was fairly high. And so I was used to...
Unnecessary.
Yeah.
Just make it a word count.
I mean, but... anybody that's ever, and T-Bone and Triple B can tell you this, because they had to grade our RPs when we broke into the CWC, but anybody that knows any of the wrestler, any of the E-Fetters that came out of GOW and hit the mainstream in CWC and then went over to the E-Fed Knights, they know that... we were notorious for maxing out the character limits and the word limits. Like, we would sit there and we became the masters of, if you said we had 5,000 words, we would get exactly 5,000 words.
Because you've been doing it to the point of getting his money, going up to the characters.
Yeah. Because, we had over in GOW, you'd sort of come up with, you had sort of been almost brought in with this quantity over quality type thing, as opposed to where most of e-fetting is quality over quantity.
Mm-hmm.
So how long your RP was went into the grading process, and along with various other things that nobody even considers or thinks about when they're grading an RP. You got graded on whether or not you had pictures in there. And it was just, it was complete absurdity and nonsense.
I know a couple people from when I started out that would probably have done well in this place. Very well in this place.
That's if they hadn't been in it, and that's why they were.
Yeah, very true.
You'll have to let me know who they are and I'll tell you whether they were or not. But it was, the character was actually received really well, because of, as a handler, of the amount of respect, I guess, that I got from Jess and the other handlers. They sort of threw me right into the mix for titles. So I got entered into a tournament where the where when you got down to the finals, you didn't face each other. You got thrown into a match with the then world heavyweight champion, which was Rich Juarez. And what it was like this double vault match where it was a regular match with two pinfalls. And the person who got the first pinfall got to choose which vault they opened. And the person who got the second pinfall got the leftovers, essentially.
And so it was like, it's not like, I was about to say, it's kind of like TNA's Feast or Fire, but I'm like, no, because there's two vaults and there's two people, so the loser still walks out with something, it's just not what he wants.
Yeah, and, the loser, the person who didn't get a pinfall walks out with his dick in his hand, pretty much. And, in the one vault was the World Heavyweight Championship, and in the other vault was the newly made and established GOW Freedom Championship. It might have had a different name before that, not 100% sure, but it eventually ended up being the Freedom Championship. And in the match, it was Rich Juarez, Rick Rampage, and Rich Juarez was the World Heavyweight Champion. He's a RPer that I really respect. He was a guy that, despite pushing the quantity to the max, along with me and him both thrived on the fact that we also brought the quality to the table, whereas there are definitely a lot of people in there that didn't bring the quality. And then there was Johnny Dangerous, who is another handler that I really respect. Actually, Rich Juarez and Johnny Dangerous were friends in real life, and they're roommates, and they actually live, I think, like about 40 miles away from me. So we all were in the same area, and we'd always talked, but never did get to get together and go to like Braves game or anything. But the three of us were in a match. Rick Rampage got the first pinfall and was about to pick up the second, but something happened, and there was a little bit of like trickery, and Rich Juarez picked up the second pinfall. Rick went on, picked his vault, and went in and walked out with the GOW Freedom Championship, and Rich Juarez retained his World Heavyweight title. So like literally within a month of being there, I was in a match where I got the opportunity to walk away with the World Heavyweight title, but I ended up walking away with their second tier title.
Okay.
So
it's not bad. It's not a bad game.
Yeah. it's not a bad way to start.
No.
That theme sort of just rolls with Rick Rampage. later on the following month, Rick earns another shot at the world title and loses via interference by Johnny Dangerous, who at this point in time had sort of stepped away from RPing. So his character sort of made his return after a month of being away or so, and attacked me, and attacked Rick Rampage, really. And so didn't win the title, but the very next night sort of saw the formation between Rick Rampage and Rich Juarez as the Golden Boys, because they were the World Heavyweight Champion and the Freedom Champion, and they teamed together to go after the tag team titles, and that next night walked away with the GOW Tag Team Championships.
Okay.
So at that point, they were the dominant guys in the GOW. They were the unstoppable force. Nobody could challenge them. Nobody could come onto their level. And then you started seeing an influx of new stars as the GOW entered into affiliation with the CWC. So around that time is when we started affiliating with CWC and started getting in. We saw an influx of guys like Nick Wadden, and some people might remember this guy, Jace Parker Davidson, Tara Michaels, and I think the other guy's name was Griffin Hawkins. They were sort of like a trio. And Nick Wadden came in and snuffed me on the Battle Royal and getting my third shot at the World Heavyweight title. That bastard. I was actually the 30th entrant into the Battle Royal, and I don't remember when he entered, but Johnny Dangerous came in, interfered, and eliminated me from the match for him, awarding Nick Wadden the title shot. And at this time, things sort of started falling apart for Rampage a little bit, I guess, in GOW. But his success sort of kept going in CWC.
Okay. So you're in CWC, and you kind of start making your name there as far as Rick Rampage goes, and because, you know, you tell me before we really started was CWC is really where Rick Rampage began to become Rick Rampage.
Yeah, Rick Rampage was in GOW, he was just a success in GOW, but we were lucky enough, and I was lucky enough to get into the GOW at a, or get into the CWC, I'm sorry, at a time when they had really just started getting going. So I got in one of the first, not one of the first, I'm sorry, but I came in at the first ever CWC Infamy show, which was back in 2009, July 2009. And at the time, I was still part of GOW, and Rich Juarez and myself were supposed to team in a tag team gauntlet match to go after the CWC Tag Team Championships. Well, my good friend Rich Juarez no-showed the event.
Oh.
And he dropped off the face of the planet after that, so that's when things started going bad. Like, I was defending the GOW tag team titles by myself. He lost the titles, and a whole bunch of madness happened that really was the downfall of GOW. So he no-shows that tournament, but Rick Rampage then goes to complain about being pulled out of the tournament because of it, and because of this in-character, they did an attack on Rich Juarez by the Empire Blood, which was run by T-Bone. And Rick Rampage goes to Sean Prime, complains about it, and Sean Prime sits there and goes, "Hey, you know what? I've got an idea. Stick with me, and you're going to be good." And so in retrospect, when I look back at it, like, at the time, I was like, Rich Juarez and I are the greatest RPers in this tournament. You know, there's no way we're going to lose this gauntlet match. We're walking out the tag team champions, you know, because we were two great RPers. But looking back, not being in that gauntlet match was probably the biggest blessing in disguise ever, because it led to the next event, which was in August, where I had to face Brian Deese and Scott Walker.
Brian Deese.
In a handicap match. And I won I beat them in the handicap match, very handedly, mind you. And sorry, it's D's. Come on.
Yeah.
So as Rick Rampage is walking into the backstage area, he's met by Sean Prime and T-Bone, and they're sort of like, and Prime sort of like gives him a attaboy and stuff like that, and T-Bone sort of is like all mocking him and like, "Ha, you know, like, whatever, you got away with it this time, blah blah blah." And then, out of character wise, what's about to happen is there's a reason for it. Out of character, the North American Championship, the CWC North American Championship was being fought over at that event. And the champion and the challenger both no-showed the event. So T-Bone and the management there decided that they were going to pick two people that they thought were deserving and grade their RPs against each other and throw them into that match, and whoever's RP was the better one was going to end up being the CWC North American champion. So they chose myself and Troy Gafkin. And so it ended up being a four-way match. A couple crazy things happened. And Rick Rampage ended up walking out the CWC North American champion.
Woohoo.
Yeah, woohoo. especially
when you don't expect something like that.
Yeah, especially when you don't expect something like that. Like, I thought it was crazy, but that's also what happens when you come in and you put, like, I mean, and for all those guys listening that haven't really had much success in e-fetting as of yet, let me tell you something. You go in, you put your nose to the grindstone, you enjoy what you do, you put out quality work, and you get it out on time and live up to your end of the bargain by showing up at every event you sign up for. People are going to look at you and they're going to say, hey, you know, this guy's what's up. It's like, he may not be there, but let's go ahead and throw him in with some better guys so that he can learn from them and get better. I mean, even at this stage, I wasn't as good as I could have been. And I got better through the time by facing better opponents. And, yeah, that's, I just wanted to toss that little bit of advice in there while I'm talking about it. So good things can happen if you do this little thing where you stick to your guns, you do your thing, show up for events, and people are going to give you opportunities, hands down.
Yeah. That's really the only thing I tell people who are like, man, I'm struggling, I'm not winning, I should just give up or make a drastic change. You know, Gooch is like that. It was a case of, I'm not winning, I'm writing very well, but I'm not winning. It's like, yeah, but you're writing well. You're showing up, you're doing what, it's just you're facing people who are just writing stuff that are a little bit better than you. You know, eventually people are going to see you're showing up, you're participating, you're sending in segments. One person that I could think of would be, I don't know if you know, in APW, Stefan Robb.
I think he's actually stepped over and is in PW now. So
a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, so he's RPing over in PW now, and I'm getting to see a little bit of his work. And,
well,
you know, so.
The handler of Stefan Robb's is a girl, so she wasn't.
Oh, she.
Yeah, it's all right. But she wasn't. I was just saying it so this way it doesn't sound weird when I say she, you know, she was struggling with her role play. She wasn't exactly winning, but she was showing up. She was writing segments, and eventually she got better. And now she's got a championship. You know, a year after she came into the Fed and, you know, put her nose to the grind and showed up, did everything. She got rewarded with a title shot, and she won.
Exactly, and that's the thing. That's the type of RPers, that's the type of handlers that people actually want in their feds. I would rather have, I know a lot of us crack on Brian Dees and whatnot, but the thing is, though, is that the guy shows up and he RPs and he puts ideas out there. You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, even in the real world of wrestling, there's, I'm sorry, but every fed has to have their jobbers and their bottom end guys. Mm-hmm. Every place does. But the simple fact of the matter is, though, is that those guys are actually the real heroes of e-fetting, because without guys like that, you know, to fill in the gaps and to help fill out the roster and make shows worth doing, there wouldn't be professional wrestling. There wouldn't be e-fetting, you know, for every Dougie Fresh, for every Rick Rampage, for every Jack Benevolence, for every one of those guys like Fallen Angel and Scorpio, you know, for each one of those characters that's out there that's considered to be a top-tier character with a top-tier handler, there's got to be more than that, because, I mean, sure, like, those characters might get all the glory because they have the titles, but the other handlers, the other characters are needed just as much, because those characters would be nothing without them. Mm-hmm. You know, those guys are the building blocks, you know, and you've got guys that are at the pinnacle, and it's going to be that way. But, you know, if you take those building blocks out and they all disappear, then that pinnacle is going to come crashing down and nobody's going to give a damn.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the way that it goes. So mad props to guys like I said, I know we make fun of them sometimes, but guys like Brian Dees, you know, all them that no matter what's said about them, they still go out there and they still RP and they still do this thing, you know? I mean, God, Brian Dees has been doing this thing forever and he's been getting crap about it all the time. Mm-hmm. So God bless that man.
So, Rick Rampage, you win the CWC North American Championship kind of out of the blue, because the champion and the challenger no-showed.
Yeah.
So you just did what you were supposed to. You did your end of the bargain. You showed up, you role-played, and you got rewarded.
Yep.
Where do you go from there?
From there, it's just a long and beautiful ride that, you know, guys, like, I mean, handlers like the handlers behind T-Bone, so Caleb and Triple B, I think, they can tell you about that journey just as much as I do. But it was a journey where it just, I wasn't even expecting it, wasn't even supposed to be in the match, and it started and it ended 294 days later against a guy named Darren Zion. And that 294 day reign lasted for a little over a year or so before I think it started right before the second Ascension tournament was Cobra's reign as the World Heavyweight Champion, and he fell short a couple weeks before the month before the 1 year mark. So he broke that, and then now, of course, you know, Dougie Fresh has the longest reign as a singles champion or world heavyweight champion, because he's way over the year mark now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so, I mean, it's having a reign like that is just, it's something special. It's something that you can't really replace. You can't do it over again, because I guarantee you, somewhere along the line, if I were to have taken back that North American Championship, I would have lost to somebody way before 294 days. You know, Dougie Fresh loses that title and he goes after the CWC World Heavyweight Championship again. He might make another good run at it, but it's probably gonna end before 400 days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so reigns like that they're once in a million, and well, not one in a million, but obviously, yeah. You got two more, so once a year maybe. But they're rare, and yeah. You got to enjoy it while you're there. You gotta live it up. I remember when it ended, Triple B asked me, "Hey, do you want a rematch?" And I even put in the show. I sent it in the segment in the show. This was how I felt out of character with it and how I felt in character with it. Was that what I did with that title was something special, and to even pick it up again and try and make another run at it would just ruin this, what I did with it that was so beautiful. I didn't want a rematch. I didn't want a shot at it again. You know, it was... So he sent me a message back when I told him that, and he said, "Well, you know what, dude? You made a tremendous run at it. I was rooting for you." And all I still have that message in my inbox and stuff, because it meant that much to me coming from a guy like Triple B. So it was just something special that I loved that I was able to do it.
So while this is going on, are you still in Gods of Wrestling?
No. Gods of Wrestling closes down, it doesn't close down right away. I actually left it before it closed down. At this point, I jumped over to a Fed run by T-Bone that then got handed off somebody else and then ended up closing within, like, a month of me being there. It was, I don't know why, I was like, I started to begin to be like the death of Feds or something. Like, I leave GOW and GOW dies, and I jump over to Tawa, which was, I've got it somewhere in here, called Total Annihilation Wrestling Alliance, which was run by T-Mone at the time, and it closed shortly after I got there. I did win a championship there. I won the Revolution Championship, I think is what it was. And so I won a championship there, and I was the last champion of it before they closed down, so I retired the championship with it. And at that point, I just was like, you know what? I'm going to take a break from constantly writing, and I'm just going to stick with just the CWC, and I'm glad that I did, because it allowed me to take part in the first ever CWC Ascension tournament, which was just spectacular. I got to be a part of that, which has kept going. I got put out in the third round by Jose Ramon, which this was another big thing. The Ascension tournament was initially, it was the start of what ended up turning into Experts versus CWC on Hallowed Grounds, which is the only ever Interfed versus Interfed matchup that ever take place. And I got to be a part of that too, which was special. So I want to actually talk about that for a little bit.
Yeah, that's fine. That's good. So, well, take me through that, because I was not, I was pretty much in the dark as far as Interfeds go.
So let's okay. So here's what I'll do then. I'll because I know that there's a lot of people just like you that weren't around back then when the CWC had first started, and when all of these things happened. So I kind of want to talk about how the CWC became the CWC that it is today. As I mentioned before, at the time T-Bone and Sean Prime were running the CWC, and as everybody knows, the Viking King is the ruler of the land over in CWC now.
Yeah.
I can't remember who the actual guy who ran the CWC was. T-Bone and Sean Prime were just sort of like the sub-handlers. Triple B would probably be able to tell you better, because I honestly just don't remember. The guy was, he would pop up and, I mean, he was kind of like Judge. If it wasn't for the fact that Judge was around all the time, nobody would know Judge even exist over on EFK. Mm-hmm. The thing was that, so Sean Prime and T-Bone were pretty much running the show, and the Ascension tournament happens, and there was this big falling out between the guy that ran it, and he just didn't want to do it anymore. And so T-Bone was like, okay, well, I've got somebody that'll pick it up, and Sean, the guy that ran Sean Prime, didn't like it at all, so he was leaving as well. So and as you know, Rick Rampage was teamed up with Sean Prime.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the second night of the first round of the Ascension tournament, Sean Prime, like during the entire show, Sean was looking for his office, and they tossed him into a mop closet. You know, he's kind of been pissed off the entire night, and he comes down and stuff, and it's like, all right, this shit, I've had enough of this shit. Let's settle this once and for all. T-Bone, get your ass down here and stuff, like, you should fire this douchebag and stuff like that. And this new ominous owner of the CWC sort of communicates through this written text on the wall and, on the Titantron or whatever you want to call it. And says, and basically tells Sean Prime that he's fired. And Sean Prime goes all crazy and psycho about it and starts attacking T-Bone. And then Rick Rampage is there, like, helping. And then all of a sudden, Wild goes to hand, Wild, who is another guy that was part of the CWC management at the time. And I don't know if he still pops in or out or not, but, he used to be around. And he goes, the character Wild goes to hand Rick Rampage, or goes to hand Prime a chair to swing at T-Bone. Well, Rick Rampage intercepts the chair and takes out Sean Prime and does a heel turn. So this is the point in time where Rick Rampage goes from being the nice guy, that lovable character that was the muscle for good and against evil, and basically just became a badass motherfucker. So he takes out Sean Prime, and everybody turns on him. At the beginning of the second round of the Ascension tournament, you find out that the entire time it was all the setup. That Rick Rampage actually let his partner get attacked by the Empire Blood, so that he could go complain to Sean Prime, and so that Sean Prime would sort of be like, all right, come here. It's like, I'll take you under my wing, and you'll be part of Team Prime. So it was all a setup from the very beginning. And during the tournament, you find out that the Viking King is the new owner of the CWC, and that, and this sort of brings out, and that's why he challenged the experts. So the experts feds had guys that were competing in the CWC tournament. Jose Ramon was one of them. And luckily, and what it was that it was a tournament to award the number, at the time was a tournament to award the number one contendership for the CWC championship. And which would be defended at on hallowed grounds. But none of us knew that at the time. Like, none of us really knew what was going on with this tournament and why the experts were coming in. And so, luckily, a CWCer by the name of Jinx, insert roll eyes here, decided, won the tournament. And it sort of led us into On Hollow Grounds, which was this big, massive sort of elimination tournament of CWC versus the experts. And what's really, the CWC is coming out to and saying, like, look, we're the CWC, we have great writers, and, you know, and ever since then, the CWC and the experts have been affiliated. And as I was saying, the On Hollow Grounds was really, it was the prime example of, like, it was the first ever interfed versus interfed thing. You know, I mean, you had tons of people competing. It was, you know, there was five matchups that was pitted teams, like, five-person teams against each other. So, like, you had, like, 50 handlers that were facing each other in five different matches. And they were broken up, and they were done so in a way to ensure that they, like, because they didn't know what was going to happen, and they wanted to judge it fairly and correctly. So they put the best wrestlers at the time from the CWC against the worst, or not the worst, but the bottom tier guys that had volunteered for the experts. But they were all good handlers, and they flipped it around and did it the same way. So the best of the experts were facing the not so best of the CWC. So to ensure that at least a couple of people made it through, what they didn't expect was that like a good group of the CWCers would no-show. And no lie, the CWC lost the first four matches. And it ended up being 10 handlers got moved on to the final match. And my team won, but only three of us moved on. Or it was originally 12, I'm sorry. Because at this point, the One Ring Circus, which was MDK and Ryan Ruckus, they got bought out by Triple B. So Triple B bought their services, and they switched from experts to CWC. So it went from being 12 against 3 to 10 against 5.
Okay.
And in the final match, things finally boiled down to 3 against 3. It was Jose Ramon, the Fallen Angel, and AC Thunder on the expert side were left, and Ryan Ruckus, MDK, and Rick Rampage were left, which I thought was, like, just amazing for me, because for Rick Rampage, being the heel that he is, he used it as justification to pretty much claim himself to be the face of the CWC.
Now, and how is that? You're out of this in the final six. The other five are some of the best to ever do this.
Yeah.
How is that for you? Because, you know, you've been doing the Assassin for a couple years prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rick Rampage, who's no longer a rising star.
Yeah. At this point, he's taken on the moniker of the Golden Boy.
Okay.
And which I think worked perfect with what I was trying to do. because obviously he was at the CWC Ascension tournament and on Hollow Grounds, he was still, he hadn't lost the North American Championship yet. So he was like, he had his catchphrase too, that he was setting the golden standard. It worked perfectly as he transitioned from that face to a heel, because he went from, like, I'm the golden boy, I set the golden standard, and people loved that about him because he was fighting for good, but he was still kind of a cocky douchebag. Mm-hmm. And but when he turned face, it was just 10 times, I mean, when he turned heel, I'm sorry, it was just 10 times more, it just worked 10 times better, because it was more of a face moniker a heel moniker in the first place. And so it just sort of like reaffirmed that to him, that like, yeah, I'm the best. Like, it's like when it comes to CWC, it's like nobody even comes close to me. I've held this title for this long. I was the last remaining CWC superstar, the original CWCer left from, you know, this. So in character, it was a big to-do for Rick Rampage. And out of character, it was honestly a humbling experience for me, because it showed that despite the fact that I was up there, that I still had somewhere to go. And I mean, you had like Ryan Ruckus and MDK were both guys from, at the time, I think they were in SCW, Sin City Wrestling. Ruckus and MDK, I think, even at one point in time, were running it. I know MDK ran it for sure at one point in time. And then you had the Fallen Angel and Jose Ramon, who Jose Ramon ended up winning the whole thing. They were both TFWF guys. And I don't remember where AC Thunder was, but AC Thunder at some point in time ended up in TFWF as well. But I know who the handler is, Gordy. He also did Rob McBride over in PW. And he was part of the staff over there for a little while. And so you had like, so it showed me that, hey, you know, I'm good, but I can be better. Mm-hmm. And that's honestly the way that I looked at it, you know, because I had heard about MDK, you know, I had seen his work, and, you know, I had heard of the Fallen Angel, and I had heard of Jose Ramon because he smacked that ass in the third round of the Ascension tournament, that bastard. So he knocked me out of the tournament, and I'd heard of Ryan Ruckus because they were guys that were floating. The SCW was part of the Experts and the CWC, and the way that it worked was, I think if you were a face, they build the CWC as, I think, the heels and the Experts as the faces. And at the time they were face, I guess, I don't know. And then they sort of did a heel turn and joined CWC at the Ascension tournament. But this was like the Ascension tournament was also for, not the Ascension tournament, On Hollow Ground was also sort of like the coming out for Rick Rampage along with the CWC, because a lot of people sat there and were like, okay, the CWC is legit, and they're legit because they have guys like this, you know? And on Hollow Grounds in the OOC thread, MDK gave me a lot of respect and props. He was like, he sat there as like major props to Rick Rampage for being the last surviving original CWCer and stuff. And I was just like, it just sort of blew me away that somebody of his caliber, that somebody was as respected as he was, sort of went out of his way to recognize me. Because when I started seeing all this work, I actually wasn't that confident in my abilities when I put up my RP, because I felt like the second that I posted it that I could have done better. Mm-hmm. And I saw all these talented writers in this thing writing what I thought was such better work than me, and to be one of the last remaining 6 out of 50 people in the entire setup, I thought was amazing. And shortly after that, Rick Rampage faces Darren Zion, loses his title, and in the CWC, he sort of tries to make a comeback and gets put up against in a match against some of the top guys over there, which were like Tyler Graves, Jinx. Like, I think his first match back actually was against Jinx and Catherine Strife, and handler of Catherine no-showed. So it was just Jinx and me, and it was a long, drawn-out match type thing, and Jinx won. And then I got put in a match with Tyler Graves, and I think I won that match. No, it was with Tyler Graves and Cobra. And Cobra, it was for the number one contendership for the CWC World Heavyweight title, and Jinx was the special referee. And Rick Rampage was about to pin Tyler Graves, and Jinx boots him in the head and lets Cobra pin him. And then I took a month off after that and didn't RP at the next show. Because I think at that point in time, I started role-playing over in TFWF, and I wanted to sort of get settled in over there. And then I returned for the Ascension Tournament, too. And Jinx had lost his title, and I get put in the first round with Jinx, which was awesome. Because they posted the scores for the role-plays, and I had the third highest rated role play in the entire tournament for the first round, but Jinx had the second.
That's the worst feeling.
But because of a couple no-shows, I was the highest ranked loser, I guess. So I got a consolation prize and got re-entered. And I beat Catherine Strife. And then... No, I don't think it was Catherine. I think it was Emma McIntyre. I don't know.
I don't know either, so we're in the same boat.
It was Catherine Strife. So I beat Catherine Strife and then turned around and lost to Valerie Belmont in the third round. So once again, I get eliminated in the third round of the tournament.
Damn.
But
you can't make it past the third round.
I know. I don't know.
Do you not like that number four? Is that
I guess. I guess four is a crowd. I don't.
Three's a crowd.
After that, during that time, there was Thatcher Rex, who in the CWC had won the North American Championship off of Darren Zion, and he broke the 100-day mark. So they thought it would be a good idea to put him up against Rick Rampage to see who the best North American champion was. And the first match that we faced off in was the loser has to sing a song praising the winner. And it was at CWC Destiny. And, of course, Rick Rampage wins because Rick Rampage don't sing no songs. Thatcher is actually a really great guy. He's a good handler. I enjoyed role playing against him.
And making him sing a song.
Yeah, but there would even been talks like, hey, just like let's make it a CWC World Heavyweight, a CWC North American Championship match, and I said no. It's like I don't want it. And it was for the same reason. I didn't want to tarnish what I had already accomplished with it. It's like, why would I want to do that? You know, I brought that title up to where it is. Why would I want to crap on it?
Mm-hmm.
So we did that. And then after the Ascension Tournament, we had a match again. It was an I Quit match. So it was like once and for all to determine who the best was. And I got Thatcher Rex to say, I quit.
So you made him sing and say, I quit.
Yeah, he never sang, that bastard.
So he owes you a song.
He owes me a song wherever that dude is. He owes me a song.
If you were listening, Thatcher.
You owe me a song.
You owe everybody a song, because I want to know what that song was. And if you're listening to this, I want you to record it.
So...
Yeah, there you go.
At this point in time, we're actually up in 2011.
Whoa!
Yeah.
All right. Whoa. Okay. So we gotta go back a little bit then.
Oh, we got no.
We gotta go back to when you entered TFWF.
TFWF was August 2010. All right. Okay. So we'll get back to CWC.
Yeah.
Because the Ascension tournament brought us all the way up to 2011. I'm sorry. It took 6 months. Don't blame me.
I'm not blaming you. I know those tournaments can take a while.
All right. So back in August, on August 2nd, was the first appearance of Rick Rampage in the TFWF. He didn't have a match. He ran in and took out the team of Old School Style, which honestly, I can't remember the two character names that were in it. I think it was like APB and I can't remember the other guy. And but they were both handled by Alex Kay, I can't say enough good things about the guy. He is, honestly, he shows up for everything he signs up for again. He's grown so much as an RPer since the time that I first started RPing against him. And the guy gives it his all every time that he writes and every time that he does something. So Alex, much love and respect for you. So Rick Rampage takes out Old School Style and in doing so joins the One Ring Circus with MDK and Ryan Ruckus.
And this is after On Hallowed Grounds, correct?
This is post On Hallowed Grounds. And also, once again, MDK really went to bat for me to get Ian to send me an invite to join. I didn't apply. I was invited.
Okay.
And and
lucky you.
Yeah. This was at a time where it was a lot of people thought it was pretentious, but I can understand why. It was Ian wanted to keep the talent, like he wanted to keep a certain quality. So if he liked somebody or if he was okay with them, somebody recommended them, he would tap them on the shoulder and say, "Hey, if you want to join, the door's open for you." And so when I got that invite, that meant a lot to me, you know, because obviously, like, even though TFWF is closed now, anybody that knows the TFWF knows that that name comes with a certain standard about it.
Yeah, they had a 4-part podcast talking about the end of it. Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah.
I haven't listened to any of it. I know that if it takes 4 hours.
Oh, it took more than 4 hours.
Well, I mean, four parts is what I meant. I know it took more. I heard, I think it was like 12 hours?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah.
If it takes that long, there's a lot to it. And
there was definitely a lot.
And even though I haven't listened to it, I plan on it. So people listen to it.
I've listened to it. So it was a huge honor for me, and I was just... At that time, I was actually looking to get back into a Fed, and I was thinking about joining PW. Sorry, guys. But when Ian tapped me on the shoulder, I was just like, I can't pass it up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, so I joined, and he throws me right into the storyline with the One Ring Circus. Not much really happens for Rick. Within like the first couple of months of him being there, I was still trying to find my feet, and in the Fed, they definitely expect a certain standard. Give me a second. That's the delivery truck drivers.
Fine.
All right. So. Hello. Yes, it is. ten or 15? All right, thank you. All right, bye. All right, we got 15 minutes.
All right.
Okay, so hopefully both things will be delivered at the same time. It'll be like Christmas. So we'll just cut out that part.
Yeah.
Okay, so Not much happens. A month after Rick enters the One Ring Circus, they oust Ryan Ruckus, so Ryan Ruckus leaves the TFWF. And I don't know if anybody's really heard much from Ryan Ruckus since then. I know I haven't.
I mean, I've seen him playing Mafia and whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I've seen him play Mafia, maybe. I don't know. But go down to December, you know, still trying. I was trying to get my feet underneath me and really, I guess, relearn the craft and get better at it. Because, like I said, it's TFWF. They expect certain things from their writers, and they expect a certain standard. And I was having a real tough time getting there. And in December of 2010 is when I get there for the first time. And I team up with Legion, who at that time had become a part of the One Ring Circus as well. Throughout the duration of the One Ring Circus, and this is just to get you like to the standard of like what was going on there, we had Exile, Georgie Nichols, Victor Kovalenko, Rick Rampage, Michael Thunder, who is Russ. Trying to remember, we had Legion, of course, MDK, and we had Sean Panache at one time. And so, I mean, they did their best to try and keep like top level guys in there. I mean, obviously everybody knows who Cindy is. She's a former True Expert. You know, a lot of people know MDK through Reputation. If they've never RP'd against him or worked with him, they know him through Reputation. You know, a lot of people know who Mark is, who played Victor Kovalenko and did Dorian Wong and guys like that. You know, so, I mean, you had some really great top-level guys in there. And so Rick Rampage and Legion team up and beat Old School Style at Ice Storm to win the TFWF Tag Team Championships. And then this becomes a pattern. The first defense, they lose the titles to Osman and Masked Marvel, who Masked Marvel was Cole Bryan, another great guy, good handler. A lot of respect for him. And they beat us for the tag team titles in February. And then the very next night, or the next show, rather, Rampage turns around and beats Jose Ramon, victory.
Finally avenged that first round three loss.
The first round three loss and losing at On Hallowed Grounds.
Mm-hmm.
So avenge that, beat him, and win the DWIWF North American Championship.
It's a lot of fucking initials.
Yes. And then I lose the title to Drake Moza at the next pay-per-view at Highlight Night. Yeah, Drake Moza. Bitches love Moza. And that leads into April, the next week, where this sort of One Ring Circus 4J storyline starts to really pick up steam. And the 4Js were Joel Bryant, Jose Ramon, Jack Hondo, and Joey Lupino. And they paired me up against Joel Bryant. And this is where Rick Rampage also started to really, really pick up steam. Joel Bryant and I like really duked it out for match of the night. And I picked up the victory, which started like this sort of rivalry between Joel Bryan and Rick Rampage. And this was where I started getting my momentum. And I turn around the next week and go up against Miguel, who was the handler of Phenom, who at the time was the TFWF World Heavyweight Champion. And we duke it out. Fallen Angels music comes on because Fallen Angel was returning to TFWF at the time. and sort of freaks Phenom out, and Rampage picks up the victory. So, I mean, I pick up a victory, and he picks up a victory over the TFWF World Heavyweight Champion, which I actually sent you the role play for one mm-hmm. of, so for that one. I was really proud of that RP. And then the very next night, or the very next week, he turns around and takes that momentum, and I beat Dragon DeMonico for the TFWF Hardcore Championship. And when I do, it had already been booked, it had already been planned, everybody knew it was happening. At Death or Glory, which is TFWF's WrestleMania, it had already been booked, it had already been planned, Rick Rampage versus Joel Bryant, no matter what. So when Rick Rampage won the Hardcore title, he held it up and shouted, "Everything's legal now, Joel." And it started leading up to like this massive amount of like just Joel Bryant getting the shit kicked out of him every night. Like he was constantly living in a state of concussion. Like he was concussed, boom, throughout it all. And so things just keep steamrolling. I team up with Exile and beat Hondo and Bryant. And the shit kicking continues.
Mm-hmm.
And the next week, you know, I get to team up with the legendary Jack Benevolence.
Jackie B.
Yeah, Jackie B, my buddy. We put a beat down on Old School Style, which I think at the time he was part of a storyline that Old School Style was a part of, and they were sort of like at each other's throats or whatnot. So teamed up with him, and following week, myself and Exile team up against Joey Lupino in a handicap match, and just like this was the way the One Ring Circus like just operated. It was like they bullied people around. They, you know, they took control of the TFWF at this time. I think they were pretty much in control. Even at one point during the storyline, they sold it so phenomenally. I mean, this is just how amazing Ian, Russ, and Sam and all of them are, the staff over at TFWF. They sold it to the point where they even changed the entire layout of the TFWF webpage to where instead of TFWF, it was all done up as the One Ring Circus, and the banners were all One Ring Circus members. And so it was like the One Ring Circus had committed like this hostile takeover of the TFWF. And I mean, it was a nice storyline. It was hands down the best storyline I've ever been a part of. Just hands down. So we beat up on Joey Lupino, the night before, Saturday Night Slam, which is the event that happens before Death or Glory, and then you get an entire month off to RP for Death or Glory. So it was Rampage, Legion, Exile, and Victor going up against the 4Js, and we defeated them and just went on a roll. We had all this momentum going into Death or Glory. And then at Death or Glory, Joel Bryant puts out a phenomenal RP. Once again, he's a guy I have a lot of respect for. I believe he even won the TFWF World Heavyweight Championship after I'd left. The guy was a great handler to work with, and that's the doorbell.
We're talking about Death or Glory.
Yeah, let's just go ahead and cut off this. Like, we talked about the leading up, the Saturday Night Slam, leave that in, and then, all right, so after Saturday Night Slam, that's the event that leads into Death or Glory, got the month off, and there I had to face Joel Bryant with the Hardcore Championship on the line, the obviously a hardcore grueling match, Joel Bryant was coming into the match with yet another concussion. And, I mean, the guy, he sold it. He sold that concussion storyline so well. He just had all this ammunition to work on it with. And, you know, he sold the injuries. He sold the story. The guy is just a phenomenal writer. Ended up being TFWF World Heavyweight Champion, if I'm not mistaken. And he got the best of me and took the TFWF Hardcore Championship away from me. Now, despite me losing at the time, the One Ring Circus walked away winners. I think I was the only one or one of the only ones to lose. And around this time, we were known as the One Ring Circus, but we were going by the gimmick line of seven, because at the time there were seven members of us. There were seven of us that were members. And after Death or Glory, it sort of, everything started rolling in towards a, into a storyline with, where it was Team TFWF versus the One Ring Circus. So, the One Ring Circus, the TFW, Team TWF ended up consisting of Fallen Angel, Dragon DeMonico, AC Thunder, Joey Lupino, and Joel Bryant. And it was, but there was a lot of people that were backing them, so it was more people than just that were backing the Team TFWF. It was almost pretty much, if you were a face at the time in TFWF, you were against the ORC. Pretty much, if you weren't the ORC, really, I guess you were, you were against us. So a lot of things happened leading up to it that are fun. Rampage and Victor Kovalenko teamed up the week after Death or Glory, and defeated Divine Legacy for the TFWF Tag Team titles. So that's my fourth reign and as a champion, and the second time holding the TFWF Tag Team Champions. And and going in from that, I lost to Scorpio the next week, or the next month. I lost to Scorpio. Yeah. So the next month I lose to Scorpio, and that's really where I guess the storyline starts. So.
Okay. Now, you when you emailed me and everything, all the information and stuff, you put down that you won the Rookie of the Year honors.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Was this before Death or Glory, or was this?
No, like... no. This was after. Okay. Yeah. That was the Rookie of the Year. I think got handed out around the end of the year, November time. Like, they had already started doing, like, around this time that we're at right now, they had already started doing they had been doing the nominations. So as they found somebody worthy, they did the nominations and continued it on. And then they cut off nominations and then sent out an email saying, okay, here's the nominees. Start thinking about who you want it to be. And send back votes, I think, and then they narrowed down the nominees.
Okay.
You know, I may be wrong. I might be wrong. They might have just done polls, but yeah. So, I guess after all of this, the polls came in, and I ended up being the co-TFWF Rookie of the Year with Jack Benevolence.
Okay.
So. That was definitely something special too, you know, because at the time, I don't think Jack had, by the time the voting had started, Jack, I believe, had won the TFWF World Heavyweight title. So I think he had won it. No, he hadn't won it. He was in the running to get a shot at it. So he had really come along, and we had both been there about the same amount of time, and he had progressed through as a singles guy, and he had made his name known through the experts before entering the TFWF. Mm-hmm. And he had progressed more along a single storyline, whereas mine was more of a co-op team sort of storyline. So the tag titles and the smaller titles fit better with the character at the time because, you know, obviously they were going to have the more established guys like MDK and Michael Thunder go after the bigger like titles like the Intercontinental Championship and the World Heavyweight title. And so it was it ended up being battled out between me and Jack, his shot at the World Heavyweight title as a rookie versus my four title reigns, which was I think Russ was the one that told me that it had never happened before. Nobody had won that many, had had that many title reigns in 1 year, especially as a rookie, I think. Mm-hmm. And so it was something special. And and so it ended up for a while, I think I was in the lead of the voting, but then when the voting came to a close, it ended up in a dead tie. And so they split the honors, and then they actually after the honors were doled out, I think they threw Jack and I in a match against each other. So that was fun. Jack won, that bastard. But yeah, no, it was they wrote it. It was a really well done match, though. It was towards the end of my being there. It was the month before. It was about a month before Ice Storm in December that we faced off, and it was really a good back and forth match. They wrote it up where for the first portion of it, Rampage had like sort of come out strong and was doling out punishment on Benevolence, and then it started sort of swaying back and forth, and then towards the end, Benevolence started really gaining control and gaining the upper hand, and did some damage to Rampage's back, and then hit him with the finisher and won the match. So it was a really big match, really fun. Jack Benevolence, it was fun working with him when we teamed together. Every time we worked together, both the times that we worked together, we communicated back and forth with each other and talked. And it was really, he's really just a great guy to work with. When he has his mindset on making something work and making something look good, and you know, especially when you're teaming with him, he wants both sides to prevail and do well, and he's just a great guy to work with. Yeah. Altogether, I have nothing but good things to say about him. I mean, guys like him are—he's what all of us really like thrive to be. He's it. He's the pinnacle. He's what. I mean, if you're doing e-fetting and you're in this circle, if you're not striving to be Jack Benevolence, you should really think about trying to strive to be Jack Benevolence, because he's not just a great writer, he's not just a great RPer, and he doesn't just make great characters, he's just an all-around great guy to work with. He's the type of guy that you really just want in your feds or in the fed, the type of guy that you want to be in a fed with. Because even if it means you're going to get your ass handed to you 9 out of 10 times when you face him, he's still just a great guy to work with. And working with him and against him, you know, just really makes you a better writer and a better e-fetter, I think. So,
mm-hmm. Well, I wouldn't say strive to be Jack Benevolence. There's very few that have the ability to be Jack Benevolence, and those are Jack Benevolence and his right and left hand. Those are the three people.
Yeah.
Is
Dougie Fresh the left or the right hand?
I don't know. It's
I don't.
Yeah, like I said, yeah, he might be either one. either one, pick one. But yeah, I mean, there's very few people who can be Jack Benevolence
or yeah, even,
like right there. But I think if you try to be like Jack Benevolence, much like how everybody tries to be like Michael Jordan or Jerry Rice or Walter Payton or Mario Lemieux or Wayne Gretzky or Babe Ruth. I'm just trying to cover all the sports.
Yeah.
Ronaldinho. It's
Ronaldinho.
Whoever the best water polo player is.
Yeah, that dude. That dude that wears that tight swimming. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I mean, because if you try to be like those kind of people and you fall short, you're going to be disappointed. Even if you fall just an inch short, you're going to be disappointed. If you try to be like them, you're not going to be disappointed that you don't be them, you know?
I guess if you look at it that way, yeah, there's that. If you don't get up to where they're at, but I mean, they're definitely good role models to try and be like them. I think in another perfect example, Jack Benevolence is the guy that he's the type of guy that's got everything clicking, everything working for him on the writing and the character and all that. But even if he didn't have those things, he's still a guy that shows up for every event. He does what he says he's going to do, and he does it to the best of his ability. And, I mean, those are the things that every person at eFetting should strive to do. You know, whether you take part a lot in the creative aspect of the game, whether you're trying to, like, help develop storylines and pick where your character's going to go in a storyline, whether you have any that, I mean, it's nice, but it's, as long as you sign up, show up, and do what's asked of you to the best of your ability, nobody's going to ever have anything bad to say about you. I mean, that's just the way that it goes. and Jack Benevolence he's one of those guys. He signs up, shows up, and does everything to the best of his ability. And no matter, and whether that ability is where he's at right now or whether it were something less than that, people would talk good things about him because he's the type of guy that you would want in your Fed and you would want to help grow, because as he gets better, he's somebody to look up to. And he is. He's somebody to look up to in eFedding. You know, like I said, as much as I wish I could hold that TFWF Rookie of the Year by myself, if there's one person I had to share it with, I'm glad that it's Jack.
And really, if you're sharing anything with Jack Benevolence other than this, like a match on the card that you know you're going to be losing, you should be happy and whatnot.
There's definitely only a few people that I'm happy about losing to, and Jack Benevolence is one of them.
you can never be mad that you lost to Jack Benevolence.
Yeah, no, definitely not. He's a great guy. And
so,
a good handler.
Since we're in the territory of things that made you happy and whatnot, favorite moments as Rick Rampage?
Well, obviously, the CWC title reign was definitely a good time. I mean, who wouldn't be happy about a 294 day reign?
Yeah, right.
Being a part of, CWC on Hallowed Grounds was a great, it was definitely a step forward in eFetting. I think think about how amazing it would be to be able to sit there and say, okay, I know for a fact that I'm part of the first ever Fed to ever be developed in wrestling, you know, like in Fedding. If you were part of the first ever Fed and you were doing stuff like that and you did well in it, you know, that would be a great thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And So being a part of On Hallowed Grounds was, I mean, we're definitively sure that no other InterFed has ever challenged and faced another InterFed and had the best wrestlers from that InterFed, which meant literally the top the top layer of the feds that they were members. So, I mean, you're talking about literally the best from like 15, 20 feds, I think, was at the time. There was a lot of feds that were experts and CWC affiliated. And I mean, you're talking about the cream of the crop, like the champions, the just the best of the best. And, you know, to compete in that and say, I was there. I mean, there's, I mean, I'm sure if you go through the EFK forums, you'll see the you'll see people with their avatars and their signatures, and some of them will say will have a user bar that says CWC versus Experts All Hallowed Grounds. I was there.
Yeah,
it was something to be like. Whether you won or lost, whether you did well or didn't do well, you were there. You were a part of it. It was something special, you know, and that's. That's a big to-do. Like, when you're a part of something special, it doesn't matter whether you're on the winning end or losing end of it. It's something special, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of people, you know, might say, like, I mean, that, okay, that, like, Darren Zion, the guy didn't do, like, much with the CWC North American Championship compared to, like, nobody did with the CWC North American Championship, but I did. But he was a part of it. He ended it, you know? Mm-hmm. So whether he, you know, he was a part of that. He got to end it. He's what made it 294 days and not 365, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he was a part of that, and that's something that, you know, he can boast. And so saying that whether you did well or didn't do well, whether you're somebody to be spoken highly of or not, you can say that, hey, I was at On Hallowed Grounds and it was something special. And, I mean, it was phenomenal because, the majority of those guys that were in it, at the end, I mean, there were guys, let's see, where were they? Okay. So, I mean, like, for the CWC guys that were in it, it was Alexia, Chase Parker, Davidson, MDK, Ryan Ruckus, and myself. Team Expert was Michael Thunder, Jose Ramon, Samuel Hezenstock, AC Thunder, Georgie Nichols, Fallen Angel, Brian Pence, Pence Weatherlight, Jade Wallace, and Exile. I mean, those were all people that were highly regarded at the time and experts. I mean, this was the cream of the crop had risen through and had made a statement and said, hey, look, you know, we're the best of the best and we're pitting the best of the best against the best of the best. And it's to compete with people on that level is just phenomenal. And I mean, the majority of these people were people that I had never gotten to face. I'd only heard of them. Like, I'd only heard of Fallen Angel. I'd only heard of Georgie Nichols and Exile. You know, I had never gotten a chance to face any of them, but at On Hallowed Grounds I did, and you know, it was like an eye-opening experience for me, and it was very humbling and was definitely just a fun thing to do. And then the next best moment would probably be beating a Phenom, was because the guy at the time he was threatening to break the record for longest running TFWF World Heavyweight Champion. You know, he was it. He was the guy. So to come in there with two guys having all this great momentum going, and Rampage had all this hype going for him, you know, he had been coming off some big wins, and to steamroll right in and meet up with a force like Phenom and take him down and beat him was just, I mean, I can't, that was, despite the fact that I didn't win a title out of it, despite the fact that it was, you know, just a exhibition match, a one-on-one between two people, that's probably my favorite moment with Rick Rampage.
Okay.
Is because, I mean, the thing is like, when I was CWC North American Champion, if I had to face Phenom at any point during that, before I faced Darren Zion, Phenom would have probably ended my reign. You know, Phenom would have probably taken me out in the Ascension tournaments, both of them. He would have probably taken me out at On Hallowed Grounds if I was in there. I mean, he was that good. He was a great handler. He was a great writer. Miguel, another guy you can't help but say good things about, because he embodied what E-Fetting is all about. And so getting to work with him and being able to say, like, okay, I'm capable of the quality of work to compete with the best in TFWF was a great moment, because, I mean, I'll honestly always truly believe that the guys in the TFWF were a group of people that played the game right, played the game well, and in a lot of cases better than most. And to be able to sit there and say that I belonged with them because I was able to take down one of the top guys was a great moment for me.
Least favorite moments?
Being in a Jess Huntley bed? I don't know. I would say my least favorite moments were definitely, first one being losing the CWC North American Championship, especially that close. I mean, we're talking like 3 months away from, or like just a couple of months away from being able to sit there and say, ha, 1 year mark, I hit it, I've done it. It's done. I can say I'm a 1 year champion. So just because you only defend the title like once a month, you only have to once a month in CWC. And so to be that close, to be just a handful of title defenses away from being able to say, yes, I did it. 1 year, I did it. And to fall short, kind of, that sucks. I mean, let's face it. But once again, it was mixed in with one of the best moments. So it's like a bittersweet sort of thing. It kind of sucks, and it kind of to fall short of that mark. So that's definitely a least favorite moment, but at least I got close to that mark too. So it's kind of like a bittersweet moment, but it definitely kind of sucks.
Is that it, or has he got?
No. Then another one was, there was definitely a time in TFWF where, not in the beginning, because the beginning I was still trying to learn, but there was definitely a time towards the end where I started losing steam, and I lost a lot of passion for writing, and especially with the character of Rampage, I sort of got disconnected from him for a little while, and then I finally started picking up steam, and then having to retire him hurt a lot too. I was just getting going in TFWF. I had all these great things that were going to be laid out in front of me. I mean, once that storyline with the One Ring Circus was over, I would have probably been thrown into some intercontinental matches, or maybe into the main event picture. I don't know what Ian had planned for me, but I know Ian thought a lot about the character, and I know he feels like I left a little bit early, and I feel like I did too. So having to retire him kind of hurt, but I had some things that I had to go do, and I'm back now. But it definitely. Definitely one of the worst moments is having to sit there and go, you know what, it's time. And so that kind of sucked.
When you're writing, what gets you like motivated? Do you listen to music?
I pretty much just about anything. Any amount of ambient noise, whether it be music or television in the background. I try not to like actually watch or really listen to what's going on the television or to what's going on in a song or whatever I have going on around me, because I don't want it to affect what I'm writing. Like just the other day, I was, well, damn it. Give me a second. I've got two phones going. Well, damn it. It's the same. It's the same people. They're calling both of my numbers to try and get a hold of me with an automated message. It's a staffing agency calling me like with 2 hours to go, telling me that I need to go, that they have an available shift for me to come work in Atlanta, like, which is like an hour away. I was like, just tell them, screw it. I've got an interview on Monday with a steady job, so I'm just going to say, fuck them. All right, so let's just go ahead and rewrap back to the question.
Yeah. When you're about to write and everything, like, what motivates you? What inspires you to write? You know, is it music? Is it watching wrestling?
Well, what inspires me to write is the deadline's like 2 hours away. I'm joking. There's just the deadline thing is sometimes true and like no joke. But really, my writing process as far as getting to the point of sitting down and writing is I read through the show and I think about where my character was going into it, what's happened, and where my character is going to be. And then I figure out a little bit of a, not an outline, but a general gist of like, okay, like, for example, we'll just take not my last RP, but the RP before it with Mason Daniels was I had this general outline of, okay, I'm going to do a part of the RP where he reacts to the results of his match and the fact that Maz interfered. And then later on in the show, he attacked Maz and Ash Bombay popped up and threw him shoulder first into steel steps. So I responded with that with Mason having his shoulder dislocated and Trainer having to pop it back in and Lucia getting upset with them and them getting in a fight. And I had meant for the fight to happen. And then I do like to listen. I'm going to roll into some other stuff too. I do like to have ambient sound like the television or music going. I try not to listen to it or let it affect my mood. Because I went from writing them fighting, Lucia and Mason fighting with each other about Mason always getting hurt and stuff like that, and I was listening to some metal music.
Okay.
And it's sort of like that head, like that hair thrashing around, like type of metal that just makes you just want to punch a baby. And
metal music makes you want to punch your baby.
Yes, metal music makes me want to pull a Dane Cook and punch a baby.
Fair enough.
Just sort of like that. It was metal music was the music I listened to before a football game and stuff to get me like pumped up and hyped and get me like, okay, I'm about to hurt somebody. And so I'm sitting there writing and this metal music's got me going and I break up Lucia and Mason and I'm like, and I sit there and I turn off the metal music and I was like, no, I can't let this shit happen. So I erase the back end of the fight and restart it over. And I was like, okay, there's only two ways that this fight can really end in my mind. And I don't know why, because it was just a dislocated shoulder. Like, it's nothing big, and Lucia's freaking out because Mason always gets hurt and stuff, like, always, always gets hurt. And so So I end up having, so I'm in like, it's either going to break up or there's going to be a reason for why she's like obscenely mad at him for no obvious reason and stuff. And I was like, okay, she's seeing the man that's the father of her child getting hurt. And I reveal that she's pregnant. So it just, it went from breaking up to pregnancy within like 10 minutes of each other because I let the television affect my mood or let the music affect my mood. So I do like having ambient sounds, but I don't like to like really pay attention to it because it affects how the story ends up going. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I have a generic outline of, I use the show as inspiration along with, things that I want for my character and where I see like their personal storyline going along with, oh my God, I just thought of something too. I'll have to talk about that later. Another absolutely hilarious moment in Rick Rampage's life that happened back in GOW.
What happened? What was it?
Okay, so at one point in time in Rick Rampage's and the Assassin's storyline together, they were really close, like almost like brothers. They lived like the Assassin, like being like this guy that's was in two Hall of Fames, you know, had all these titles and stuff to his name and stuff, had obviously had like this big mansion, and like they were staying and living together and they were traveling together and whatnot.
You can have them like have sex at the same
No. There was no devil's threesome. There was devil's triangle. No, there was no, none of that. No, what ended up happening was Rampage went to go see the Assassin one day at his hotel room in the city that they were in for the show, and he goes to knock on the door and the door just opens. So he walks in, goes into the hotel room, and there he sees the Assassin just screwing his mom's brains out. So
okay, I kind of think mine would have been a little better, but okay.
Yeah, so the Assassin was sleeping with Rick's mom, and so that was interesting. So it just, I don't know why I thought about that, but so.
Wow.
So anyways, so I think about the characters, I try and think about where I want the character storyline to go, and I just go from there, you know. I try not to plan too much ahead because I think you lose some of the spontaneity, you lose some of the surprise. Like, if you don't ever want to be that writer where you truly plan out an RP, like you outline it, it's like, I'm going to say this, 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 and this, because then somebody's going to go and look at your stuff and be like, okay, I've read 15, 20 of this guy's role plays. I know how he thinks. I know how he writes. So, okay, he's going this way with this RP. It's going to end like this. Oh, huge surprise. He does that. So you lose some of that element of like knowing what's going to happen when you use an outline. And so I don't like doing that. So I do a base of like, okay, I want to respond to this and I want the attitude to be something like this. And then I just write it. And then I was like, okay, the next part, I want it to be something like this with this type of attitude and just write it. And so I don't plan out points. I don't plan out anything like that. I was like, just do a generic, like, this is going to be the mood. This is going to be the place. This is what we're going to be addressing, and just go and just rinse and repeat through and throughout. So you'll have, some places where, like in Rampage's RP where he's where I did for the Phenom match, like in the first part he's like, he's just beat Joel Bright, he's excited, he's ecstatic, he's talking with all the people, he's on top of the world, he feels like he just beat a guy that at one point had just challenged Phenom for the world heavyweight title. He's like, I can do anything, I can beat anyone, I could beat Phenom to the ground and stuff, and like just like he can do whatever he wants. And then it comes to the next week and they're at the show and they revealed who Rick's facing, and it's Phenom, and he's sitting there about to shit a brick out of his ass because he's just so fucking scared. Like, he's just going out of his mind, bonkers, just completely scared, and it just goes from there, and MDK is sitting there just building him up throughout the entire roleplay, and I didn't plan for it to go that way. I didn't know what I was going to write. I didn't know how it was going to turn out and stuff. I just sort of said, okay, I'm going to do this cocky thing to start off, and then he's going to find out he's actually facing Phenom, and he's going to shit a brick. And that's where we're going to go, and we're going to see how it goes. And I'm more of a let the RP write itself. So I do a little reading, do a little research, figure out, you know, what it is that I want to address and what the mood I want to address it in is, and just let it go from there.
Okay. And then who are some people that you took from them a little bit in your own writing style, or you saw, you know, something that they wrote and you're like, oh, I really like how they did that, let me try it?
When I first started doing e-fetting, I got into this fed with the assassin called New World Wrestling, and the generic gist of how things were there was everybody did strictly script writing. So it was, you do just basic actions for your description, like walks out onto the stage, heads down the ramp, does his pose, you know, climbs into the ring, just very basic generic stuff, not storytelling, just letting the description, letting the whoever's reading basically fill in the blanks. And then you do your then you do exact lines of what he says. And as time went on and I got into places like WAW and GOW, and it didn't, and they weren't like that at all, I sort of advanced the script writing from there. So it became a mix of the script writing that I was doing and mixed in with heavily descriptive writing. And I'm trying to remember who the guy's name was or who the character was from WAW, but he was like the top guy when I got there. And the place had been going for several months. He won the title right out the gate. Nobody had even come close to defeating him. And sort of, I took on his descriptive style. And they're not really style. I adapted descriptive writing for the action and sort of kept my own style of writing. And I beat him, and then it's really evolved from there. Like I've learned a lot from MDK. I learned a lot from Cindy. I've sort of taken pieces of advice on things that they do and how they do it, and sort of put it into my role playing style. And but I've tried my best to just be adaptive, but keep the style the same as mine as I can, because I don't want somebody to sit there and be like, God, this guy writes exactly like Cindy does, you know, or this guy writes exactly like MDK does. But I mean, they've definitely helped me along the road. They've both by helping critique my RPs, along with Russ has as well, and giving me advice, and I've taken on that advice and really helped. And a lot of people have really helped develop who my writing style has ended up as where it is now.
Okay. Now, since you're such a super fan, you might know what comes after this, after all that part.
The shout-outs?
The shout-outs, there
you go. Shout-outs.
So, I'm going to give you the floor. You got 10 minutes.
10 minutes?
Well, up to 10 minutes.
Up to 10 minutes. And so I don't know if that's long enough. Yeah. Damn it. shit. All right. I guess first thing I'll start off with is, cause you know, we're just the other day, they finished up the TFWF podcast. So I want to give a shout out to Ian. Ian, you're what I wish a lot of people, a lot of more people could be like in eFetting. You know, you're just a great guy. I mean, it meant so much to me when you tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, do you want to come to the TFWF? I think you have a future here. And then when I listened to the podcast, you had a lot of you had a couple nice things to say to me, and I think that's the UPS guy. Shit.
You want to give a shout out to him?
Yeah, give a shout out to the UPS man. I'll be right back. All right, so start back at shout-outs?
Sure.
All right, so first person I want to give a shout-out to is Ian. It meant a lot to me, you know, when you tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, would you like to come to TFWF? I wasn't in a Fed at that time. I honestly didn't think that I was up to the standard, up to par to be there. And just bringing me in to sort of like kind of affirm that, you know, you're ready, you're there. And I've always respected you a lot. You're the type of guy that that Fedhead should look up to. You know, I mean, you're obviously doing something right. You ran literally what I'm pretty sure is the longest running eFed in the history of eFedding. I mean, I really look up to you. You're a great guy. You know, when I listened to the TFWF podcast, the recap, at the end, you had a couple of nice things to say about me, and those words really meant a lot coming from you, because you're such a top mind, you're such a top personality in person in eFedding, you know, and I really appreciate it, everything that you've done for me. Next person I want to thank is T-Bone and Triple B. T-Bone, you, along with the people that at the beginning of CWC had your hand in getting me put into big storylines, over at CWC, and, you helped and you got me into the North American Championship match, and you really are what helped me as a handler make a name for myself. And, you know, you helped me making a name for myself, and I helped you guys and Triple B and the CWC sort of make a name for itself. And I really appreciate everything that you did for me. And B, I really appreciate you, man, because a lot of places when you do something like that, they'll just be like, oh, it's over, let's move on to the next thing. And you really took your time out of your day to at least send me a couple messages saying like, hey, you did something special, do you want a chance at it? And you know, and those things meant a lot to me too. And it was always a pleasure working at the CWC with you in charge. Another person I'd like to thank is give a shout out to is MDK. You know, I didn't know this until later on, but you're one of the people that really got me through the door at TFWF. You spoke up and put my name out there, and I just want to thank you for that, because the TFWF was hands down the best experience I've ever had in eFedding, and it was a pleasure working with you both at On Hallowed Grounds and at TFWF as part of the One Ring Circus. You really took me in. You're always there for me whenever if I caught you on a MSN Messenger, I could always shoot you a message, and you always gave me advice. You really helped make me a better role player, and for that, I'm thankful. Russ, the exact same way. I mean, what more can you say about Russ other than, I mean, he's Russ. He really is Ian Jr. I mean, this guy is, he's phenomenal. The guy brings a lot to the table. He's not just a great writer. He has a great mind for this game. You know, he does a phenomenal job running the experts tournament. I'm sure, like, nobody can deny that. He does a phenomenal job. And he's another person that whenever I asked, he was always there to say, hey, I was like, going to be honest with you. This is what you need to work on. You're doing a great job, though. And he always made sure that when he talked to me, even if he was telling me this is what I'm doing wrong, to tell me that, but I was on the right path. And he always made sure that I was moving forward as opposed to taking steps backward. And I really appreciate that about him. Cindy's helped me out a lot, getting better as an E-Fetter. She really helped me develop the Mason Daniels character and get better at writing him by doing some critiques. And it's always been a pleasure working with her and against her, both in TFWF working with her and working against her in the PW. The other person I'd like to give a shout out to is Maz. Masaru. we've had some really great feuds, and it's always a pleasure working with him. He's a great guy, a great handler, one of the best, former PW World Heavyweight Champion. It's always a pleasure working with him. I mean, we put on a pretty great storyline between Maz and Mason, where people are stoked and already waiting now that I'm back to see Maz versus Mason 4. So he's always a great guy to work with. I want to thank Nick, who just recently stepped down as the president of PW. He's still on staff and still RPing there, but he stepped down now. He helped get me integrated, and he's always tried to get me going in some great storyline. He's done everything he could for a long time, even before I joined the PW. For a year before that, was always, whenever I was available and looking to join a Fed, he was always right there at my heels, being like, "Come on, man, join PW." He's a huge fan of mine, and I'm a tremendous fan of his. He's another great guy, and PW is gonna miss him as a Fed head, but It's still good that we have his mind there to at least pick a little bit and get good ideas from. And also, Sync. Did I get everybody? I think that's about it.
What's everybody?
No. Sorry. I'm gonna start name dropping now. I want to give a shout out to Jack Benevolence. Get your fucking ass on this show, you bastard. I'm pretty sure everybody, not just myself and TJ, want to see you on this show talking about how Jack Benevolence became such a badass motherfucker. Jack, get on this show. I'm going to be sending you a link to this episode when it comes out, so you better listen and you better get your ass on this show. Same goes to you, MDK. Yeah, I guess now I'm done.
Just had to drop two names.
Yeah. Had to remember to get MDK on the show and try and get Jack Benevolence on here, because I want to hear his E Hollywood true story.
Well,
so
I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
For your entry, and I know now you're gonna go and you're gonna cry tears of joy that you've
oh my your god no oh, like. Like, honestly, I can't even lie. I was actually tearing up as I was thanking Ian, because that's how much his words meant to me. So, Ian, like, truly, honestly, everything you said on that podcast meant a lot to me. So, thank you.
And if you haven't checked it out yet, it's over on the eFed Knights board. It's a lot of time, but gotta listen to it.
Yeah, definitely.
I plan on it as soon as I have time myself to actually.
You spend like 2 hours doing these podcasts along with doing your internship. Like, I'm surprised you even can think about doing it. So
I'm almost done.
Yeah, almost done.
Rick, thank you for coming on and thank you for the support. I mean, Talon, Adrian Spector now really get behind it, which is awesome.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. And I can't wait for you to retweet your own episode.
Yeah. I always retweet. I'm good for a retweet, guys.
Are you going to listen to your own episode? Is that going to be like weird? Like you already know everything.
No, I'm definitely going to listen to it. I listen every podcast that I'm a part of. I listen to. I mean, because I honestly think that it just adds to it, you know?
Yeah.
It's one of those things where like if you do it on like if you do YouTube and all these other things, hits matter. Whether people hits and views matter because they not only let the person who's doing the show know that people enjoy it, but it also lets the people that are looking to start listening know that, hey, a lot of people enjoy this show. And I mean, this hobby is really just a close-knit circuit. I mean, there's probably like maybe 100-200 people between CWC and eFed Knights. So if you're even getting 25% of that, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's a good bit.
It is a good bit.
So, well,
Rick, I appreciate you stopping by and again for the support you show. Yeah. We will we'll keep up with Mason Daniels over in Phoenix, as well as maybe if you could bring Rick out of retirement one time.
We'll
let people know.
We'll see about that. I know a lot of people, like when I said I was going to sign up for the experts tournament, like one person popped up and was like, Rick's coming back. I was like, no, Mason Daniels, fuck you.
Disappointed a lot of people there.
Yeah. Oh, not a lot of people. I think just one person.
One person disappointed is still a lot of people disappointed.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's it was my buddy Alistair. Shout out to Alistair too. That guy, he can tell you some stories about Just Cuntley too. you see what I did there?
Yeah, I saw what you did there.
Yeah. So fuck Just Cuntley.
There we go.
Yeah, Last pick. Yeah, that's.
Rick. We'll talk to you later, man.
All right, man. Talk to you later.
Rick, I'm happy I made your dream come true. I know you're listening to this because you said you were going to listen to this. Hopefully it wasn't too weird to hear yourself talk. In fact, you're going to talk one more time. I believe you have some feds you want to talk about, right? Take it away.
All right, guys. Just want to take this time to plug Phoenix Wrestling. Don't know when you're going to hear this, so recently we went through a change in management, but we have a lot of faith in Legacy. He's going to be the guy running it from now on. Nick is still on staff, and he's still RPing there, but Legacy's taking over to give Nick a bit of a break because life's getting kind of hectic. But I really hope you come bounce on over and check us out. We have a good dedicated roster, good strong core of people. We got guys like Legacy, Maz, Chris Chaos, Arkea Fisk. You know, I mean, I'm there of course too, and I just really hope you come bounce on over, check it out. We can always use some more faces because it seems like the heels have taken over and Mason's fighting the good fight. But come check us out. We're one of the best feds around. You know, anybody will admit it. We've won a couple awards, including Best New eFed over on EFK a couple years back. So, I mean, we're one of the top places to be. So if you think you can hang, come on over and check us out because we would love to have you.
He only had one fed to plug, and that goes to show you what I know. When I'm the host, I told you. I don't know everything, guys. But what I do know is you can contact me at the eFed Journal on Twitter. You can contact me at efedjournal@gmail.com. You can go on the websites, efedjournals.webs.com, efedjournal.blogspot.com. Shows are on the Blogspot. There's an archive on webs. You can also find the polls at both sites. If you are a Fed head who is looking to advertise your Fed, whether you're just getting started, you're a couple months in, you're years established, you're on your last legs maybe, I don't know. I don't discriminate. Just email me at subject advertisements with an advertisement for your Fed that I can read on the eFed Journal, such as I did earlier. That's about it. Expect some more content coming up. I might have a co-host for this, maybe. We're still working that out. Well, for the eFed Journal staff, which is myself and my computer, I want to say thanks for stopping by. I will see you guys next week for sure, unless my computer craps out on me again. He took the week off. I didn't like that. I'm TJ, and stay eFedding. Later.
I've got all my like original copies on like a hard drive, like a removable hard drive. Mm-hmm. But like, I didn't want to bog you down. Like, you got stuff going on, you know. You know. Let's be honest. This interview will be good, but like, we're not. You know, you're not Tom Brokaw, and I'm not Barack Obama.
Whoa! I am Tom Brokaw. I am.
I knew I recognized that voice.
I am E-Fedding Walter Cronkite.